ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And Moses, as he stretches out his arms, the waters of the Red Sea part, big heap on either side, the children of Israel now can walk through on dry ground. In Exodus 14, verses 19 through 31, this is what we're told, as God brought salvation to them. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels so that he drove them with difficulty. I love that. To me, that's kind of funny. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's the idea here. I mean, talk about an amazing, it was hopeless for them. And yet God brought them through, slowed the Egyptians down so all the children of Israel could get through. And once they did, and the Egyptian army was in the middle of the Red Sea, those waters came down upon them and killed them all. One more to show you that the battle belongs to the Lord. Remember after the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, the land of Canaan, that there were enemies that had to be defeated. And the first enemy was Jericho, not a little hick town. This was a fortified city, a walled city. And they already heard that the children of Israel were coming, and they went into lockdown to protect themselves. And the Lord says to Joshua, "I've got a plan for you. This is your battle plan against Jericho. Every day for 6 days, march around the city of Jericho once, keeping silent the whole way. Don't say a word. On the seventh day, march around the city of Jericho 7 times. The priests were to blow the trumpets, and the people were to shout, and the walls were to come tumbling down." You think that was a walk of faith? Absolutely. Can you imagine getting battle plans like that? And yet, by faith, they did it for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. And on the seventh day, they walked around 7 times, shouted. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The enemy was defeated, just as God said. So we can clearly see the battle belongs to the Lord. Don't lose sight of that. It's, you know, not only the battles that belong to the Lord, but our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. And that means if we want to be victorious in these battles, we have to listen to the Lord, obey his instructions to us. It's a matter of trust. Do we trust the Lord enough to just listen to him and obey him as well? Sometimes the Lord has us do things that seems, that just doesn't seem right. But it's what God wants, because he gets the victory. You know, again, today as we look at what's going on in our nation and the world, we tend to approach it the wrong way. Yeah, we see the rise of immorality and wickedness and a host of many other things that are not of God, and we try to stop them by passing laws, by protesting, by electing this person or that person, by doing this and doing that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing some of that for the most part, but here's the thing. You can pass all the laws you want. It doesn't mean people are going to obey them. This is a heart issue. We tend to leave prayer out of these things, frankly, because, well, these things are just too big and we have to rise above and get the money in and get the people in and do this and do that. But it's we, not God. A.W. Tozer, I like what he said. He says, sometimes when we get overwhelmed, we forget how big God is. Did you get that? Sometimes when we get overwhelmed, we forget how big God is. I think that's absolutely true. Do we think that the issues we face in this life are too big for God to handle? No. Do we think that God just doesn't care anymore? No, he does care. He loves us more than we'll ever know. The battle belongs to the Lord. No, think about David facing Goliath, right? The rest of the children of Israel were fearful of this Philistine giant, this warrior. Why? Well, I mean, he stood some 9 feet, 6 inches tall, probably weighing some 500 pounds. Can you imagine? He was a big dude. His armor weighed between 150 and 200 pounds. His spear weighed 20 to 25 pounds. And here's David, just this little guy. And David knew the battle belonged to the Lord. And he wasn't going to go up against this giant on his own. But God was with him, and there was no way he was going to lose this battle. You see, for the children of Israel, they saw themselves going up against this giant. David said, I'm not fighting this guy alone. I'm bringing my heavenly Father. I'm bringing God with me. There's no way I'm going to lose this battle. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 47, listen to what we're told. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. Isn't that interesting? All military weapons, physical weapons, right? How does David come to this giant? How is he coming to fight? He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Did you see that? The battle is the Lord's. It wasn't David's. He just needed to walk by faith. Paul, listen to what he said about our warfare in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Make no mistake about it. We do walk in the flesh. We have physical bodies. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul was flesh and blood, just like we are. But he struggles with the same things the Corinthian Christians struggle with and with what we struggle with. But he wants them to understand we don't war according to the flesh. Paul understood that. What are these weapons, these spiritual weapons that he was going to use? Well, the two offensive weapons are the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Those are our offensive weapons. Our defensive weapons are the belt of truth, which holds us up and keeps us from tripping over ourselves. The breastplate of righteousness, it protects our hearts. Our feet are firmly planted upon the gospel of peace. Our shield of faith can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one or from Satan. The helmet of salvation will protect our mind from the evil one. We need to understand that these battles, again, are spiritual. Yes, they're played out in the physical, But these, they're behind the scenes. There's a spiritual warfare going on. And Satan and his forces uses people to carry out his work. Remember the battle that you're in. Again, Paul says these things are for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul is saying that we're fighting against ideologies or beliefs that people have that are not of God. And every high thing, every proud, arrogant, lofty ideology that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That includes all the false religions of the world, the cults, atheism, communism, Marxism, secular humanism, naturalism, whatever you want to put in there. They all try to exalt itself above God or in the place of God, the God of the Bible. And please understand that this spiritual warfare that we're fighting is really this brainwashing of the devil who's pumped into the minds of the people his false doctrines that will keep them away from saving faith that's found in Christ. Satan isn't against religion. He loves religion because he could use it to keep people from Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Now, some laugh at this, and they think it's foolish. Well, it's not. And maybe that's why the church today is so ineffective, because we're not using the spiritual weapons that God has given to us. What words can we say that can defeat the enemy? There's really none. What are we going to say to him? How are we going to fight this enemy? The Word of God really defeats them. Prayer defeats them. Put on your spiritual armor. They're not going to get at you. Does it work? Yes. Clark tells us, in like manner, the doctrine of the Reformation, mighty through God, pulled down, demolished, and brought into captivity the whole papal system. And instead of obedience to the Pope, the pretended vicar of God upon the earth, obedience to Christ as the sole almighty head of the church was established, particularly in Great Britain, where it continues to prevail. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Tragically now, Europe has turned away from God, and we're seeing the results. And it's not pretty, and it's happening here in America as well, because we didn't learn the lesson. We didn't listen to what God has warned us. We didn't see the things that happened to the children of Israel when they turned from the Lord. So bring in our thoughts to the obedience of Christ and pull down those strongholds of the enemy that is going after our families and neighborhoods and workplaces and cities and so on. I don't know if some of you remember this. Years ago, there was a Christian music group called Petra, and they had a song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," interestingly enough. And it's really perfect for what we're talking about today. It goes like this: in heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us shall stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. The power of darkness comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's exactly what we're talking about, guys, this morning. Yes, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's called us then to move out, to get up, to get moving, and see the salvation he'll bring to the situations we're facing. And I could spend a long time this morning showing you how the Lord delivered me from all kinds of situations I've been in that weren't easy. Situations that almost seemed hopeless many times. But as I look back, I see what God was doing and the victory he gave me. And all he wanted me to do was to obey him, to walk by faith, to do those things he's called me to do, to trust in him. And that's what he's calling you to do. The things he's laid upon your heart, to take a step forward and walk by faith. And I truly believe if you look back at your Christian life, your Christian walk, you'd be able to do the same thing as well. See those victories that God has given you, and they will encourage you. God's proven himself in our lives. And we need to remember that, not lose sight of that. You know, I think the challenges we face show us two things. They show us something about God. The battle belongs to him. We can trust in him, right? And something about us. Are we willing to walk? Where is our faith? Is God stretching us? Are we afraid to take those steps? See, we can do nothing apart from him. And if he's always with us, he'll never leave us or forsake us. why are we fearing? That's really the key. Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to believe in? Look at God's faithfulness to us and trust in Him and what He's promised to us. He's more than able to bring it to pass. See, when God intercedes, He does so in an amazing way and brings about great victories in our lives, just as we see here with the children of Israel. They should not have been victorious in this battle. Not at all. They were outnumbered. They were outgunned with these 900 chariots. God gave them the victory. Let's look at verse 23 in Judges chapter 5. Curse Meroz, and the angel of the Lord said, the angel of the Lord, curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to help, to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. We see here the curse of not obeying the Lord. Specifically here we see God curse Meroz, which was a town in Naphtali. Why? Because they did nothing. They didn't assist their brethren. You see, sin is not only in our actions, but also in what we don't do when we should. God asked them to help. They refused. You see, we as Christians, by not coming to battle, we're forsaking the work of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be cursed, but we're not going to see the blessings that God has for us. And there's many blessings in serving the Lord. And I guess the question may be, why didn't they come to help? Was it fear? Fear of the enemy? Maybe. Maybe they didn't have enough time to get involved. Maybe, I don't know, Jupiter was in alignment with Mars, whatever excuse, but it was an excuse. And God held them accountable. Why? Because God had called them. They didn't go forward. What about us? What is keeping us from fighting for the faith that's been entrusted to us? What is keeping us from sharing our faith? What is keeping us from taking down the strongholds of the enemy? It's interesting. You know, Facebook is a very interesting place, especially today. I'm dealing with some people that say that we're basically disobeying the Lord by following Romans 13 and not gathering together as a church, a body of believers in a building. We are forsaking the Lord. We are doing wrong. We're not honoring the Lord. We're obeying man rather than God. Romans 13, they say, does not apply to us today. And I struggle with that, okay, because I have to say something. And I said, do you really think we're worse than Rome was? And he wrote some stuff down. And I said, look, this is here to protect people. And I'll tell you personally that I care for the people that God has entrusted to me. And I don't want them infected with this virus. Will it happen if we gather together? It may. It may not. But I know what the law now says, what the governor has said. And I'm not going to disobey it because I'm following what Paul had written in Romans 13. Again, he didn't agree with me on this, which is fine. Here's the thing. Who are you going to obey? He said, so now the government's telling us that we can't gather together and do a Bible study. I said, no, that's not what he said. In fact, we're doing Bible studies all the time. We do them twice a week now. We live stream them. We've got them on the radio. The governor did not say we cannot have a Bible study. He said we cannot gather right now. So that's wrong. And I'm going to obey what Paul had said in Romans 13. You see, we have to be wise in these days. We got to listen to what the Lord is saying and not be driven by, I don't know, all these bizarre things on Facebook or in the news or whatever. What is the Lord telling us? I truly believe God is more than able to see us through anything. And I think many times for us, we look at situations and we make a mountain out of a molehill. Let me ask you this. In God's eyes, is a mountain any harder to deal with than a molehill? No. So if you want to make a mountain into a molehill, go ahead. But it's still not any harder for God. The problem is if you're struggling with the mountain, it's because you've taken your eyes off of God. Is anything too difficult for God? No. There is nothing too difficult for Him. I think we need to remember that. You know, I realize, you know, people are worried, what am I going to do? How is this going to work out? I don't always know. But I know God does. In fact, God knows the beginning from the end. I shared this with you before, but, you know, we look at things straight on. Imagine, you know, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And there you are. You're on the street. You're watching it. What can you see? Well, you see just the things that are in front of you. That's all you could see of the parade. You can't see the, you could see the beginning, but once it passes by, now you see this part and this part, but you can't see the end yet. Imagine if you're up on the top of a skyscraper and you're looking down at the parade. And you're looking down at the parade and you could see the beginning of the parade, the middle of the parade, you could see even the end of the parade. You see the whole parade. Why? Because you're above it. That's God. He sees the whole picture. And I may not understand it, but can I trust in him as he calls me to walk by faith? You know, how often we're grounded in our walk with the Lord because we can't see straight. We're all in a fog, you might say. And you know how fogs are. It's foggy outside, I can't see. You know, God can. You know, Solomon puts us back into the place where we need to be, especially in difficult times. He said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I like that. Trust in the Lord. Can you lay your whole life into his hands and not trust your own understanding of situations, acknowledging him and letting him direct your paths? Again, I've seen that over the years where, you know, God has told me to do something and I was nervous about doing it. I knew what the Lord said, but I was still nervous about it. And as I did it, I was blown away at how God used that, the things he showed me through what I did. If I leaned on my own understanding, I would have never done it. But I trusted in him with my whole heart. And he directed my paths. I don't want to be wise in my own eyes, because I'm not. My responsibility is to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Keep my eyes upon him. Not to try and figure things out on my own, but walk by faith and let him direct me. Let him direct you. If any of you are hurting today and you need to talk or you want to email me, please do. I realize these are really troubling times for a lot of people. Being isolated from others is very stressful. I'll be more than happy to talk with you. I'll be more than happy to email with you. Don't be out there on your own. And I would encourage you, read the Word of God. Read in the Psalms. I mean, the Psalms are just a wonderful book of just focusing back on God. Many of the Psalms that David wrote, he starts out being downcast. Oh, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? He's distraught. He's hopeless. Then he goes, oh, hope in God. And he's all better. You see, he got refocused. And that's really what we need to do. And as we read God's word, his Spirit will open it up to our hearts and our lives and encourage us in the things we face in this life. My prayer is that you have been encouraged this morning and that you have seen that the battle belongs to the Lord. And all he wants you to do is to walk by faith. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you. And I, Lord, needed to hear this again, just to be encouraged and to stay refocused upon you. Lord, there's battles every day out there. This world's going to get darker and darker. But Lord, you said, we are the light of the world now. And we need to shine for you, to point people to you, Lord. Help us to do that. We pray that each and every one of us would be empowered by your Spirit to bring the gospel message forward to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, to live. Help us to walk by faith. And Lord, if there is any struggling here this morning, Lord, touch their hearts. Lord, if there's anyone who's thinking about suicide, Lord, touch them. Help them to see you love them more than they'll ever know. Stop them from going down that path because the devil wants to kill and destroy lives. You want to give life and you want to give it a life abundantly, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, reach out to the people. Heal them. You are the wonderful counselor, and we need that. And Lord, then help us to walk accordingly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.